You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In case you haven't been paying attention, Election Day is finally here. Will the Republicans take the House? Will they win in the Senate? Will all the campaign ads, Tea Partiers, shady political donations, and self-funded millionaire candidates influence voters? Well, I don't like to make predictions, but we will soon find out. New York Times columnist Gail Collins joins us now for the final edition of How Did Politics in America Get So Weird?, the paperback edition of her book, When Everything Changed, The Amazing Journey of American Women from 1960 to the Present, was published last month by Little Brown. We are also joined today by Andy Borowitz of the BorowitzReport.com. He'll be hosting the National Book Awards on November 17th. Are you a candidate, Andy?
No, always the host and never the nominee.
Well, I'm very pleased to welcome both of you back. And I said that we'll know the results tomorrow. Of course, we won't know all the results. Obviously, we won't know what happened in Alaska, whether Lisa Murkowski won. And I'm not sure that I still know what happened in Minnesota. Is Al Franken the senator?
I think so. Or Tom Davis. I can't remember. One of them. One of them got in there.
Franklin is definitely running around, so we can presume that much anyway.
We've been focusing on the more lighthearted aspects of the election, the errors and oddities, and we've had a wealth of topics to choose from. Have there been midterm elections quite like this one, Gail?
Oh, undoubtedly there have. It's just not in recent memory. We managed to forget things so quickly right now. One of the many new fascinating things, I'm in Ohio now, that there's all these ads about how people bought furniture. I've never seen such sort of vindictiveness about officials who put a new couch in their office. It's really mean.
Do you have any favorite moments, Andy?
I'm still back in Ohio because that's where I'm from, and I'm just wondering is there sort of an anti-furniture campaign? I think furniture is a good thing to have in government.
You spend on the furniture.
Oh, okay. I'm a little slow.
No, I didn't. I didn't get any numbers on this, though, but just put new furniture in his office so it would look more stylish. You know, really,
wow.
I mean, I guess there's not, you know, if you're arguing about auditors,
we're really circling the drain.
What I've learned in this campaign is we have way too many elections. How can you expect these poor people to know who the better auditor would be, really?
Well, one of my least favorite moments came this morning when I had to use a new New York ballot. It was a lot more cumbersome than the old machines, which I really used to like. And then I had to wait on a long line to have it scanned because there was only one scanner. All the other two were broken. And the man who was running the whole thing said, they spent millions of dollars, and look at what we have here.
You know, that's the great thing about I miss being in New York, because if you were always – when I was used to be a columnist, I had a Wednesday column. And if you were on election day and you knew you couldn't write about what was actually going to be elected, you could always write about how screwed up the voting was. It was just an absolute perfect every election day story you could count on.
Well, this was about as screwed up in New York as you could imagine. The only thing we didn't have was hanging chads. Christine O'Donnell has been one of the most talked about candidates in this midterm election, Andy, from her I'm Not a Witch commercial to her confusion about the First Amendment. Do you have a favorite Christine O'Donnell moment?
You know, I do. I mean, there's so many to choose from. I mean, she's just kind of a YouTube dream. But I liked the moment in the debate, the Delaware debate, where they asked her if she could think of a single Supreme Court decision that she disagreed with.
Should we listen to that?
Yeah, let's hear it.
What opinions of late that have come from our high court do you most object to?
Oh, gosh. Give me a specific one. I'm sorry.
Actually, I can't because I need you to tell me which ones you object to.
I'm very sorry right off the top of my head. I know that there are a lot, but I'll put it up on my website. I promise you.
Gail, can you remind us of how she suddenly became so politically prominent under those circumstances?
Well, I mean, first,
that is so wrong, because that was the Sarah Palin moment. And she was being coached by Sarah Palin coaches.
Mm.
Now, I regard that as totally unforgivable on her part.
I mean, Gail, correct me if I'm wrong, but somebody asks you that question. Can't you pull out can't you say Ali V. Frazier something? I mean, there's got to be an answer. I mean, this woman, what I don't understand about Christine O'Donnell, she attended something like 9 different colleges. Didn't she learn how to BS her way to an answer at any of those higher institutions? I mean, it's crazy to me. I'll put it on my website later.
Yeah, as everybody really knows who does those sort of things a lot, is you just change the question. And what she needed to say was, nothing, no matter how horrendous that I've experienced lately, compares to Roe versus Wade or something like that. And just run with it.
Well, actually, she should probably have said, well, I like the way the Supreme Court has been voting recently. And it's a major, as far as she's concerned, it's a positive step from what it used to be when she was unhappy. But I guess you always run against the Supreme Court. She's been easy to make light of for her gaffes, but has enough attention been paid to her background and her political ideals and her plans if she were to win? And I think I could ask that question about any number of candidates during this campaign.
Yeah, it is. And I think probably less for her because she really has shown no sign whatsoever since day one of being a candidate who can get elected. I've kind of wondered where she's going to go next. I'm presuming I'm going to see her on Fox or someplace with a show very soon. I mean, she's not going to go away.
Well, I've got to say, if she's looking for a new path, I would avoid a career in improv. I don't think that would be very – I think she's not really that good on her feet.
Well, is there a Coven cable channel?
She just dabbled.
Comedy, yeah.
She just dabbled in witchcraft. You know, that's the other thing about her that I think has been such a distraction on this business about witchcraft. I mean, she said that she dabbled in witchcraft, but she has dedicated her entire life to ignorance. That's the thing that she's really been focusing on. And I think that's the thing that scares me a little bit more.
Would you say that anger has been a major theme of this election?
Yeah, some more than others. That's an interesting thing kind of about Christine O'Donnell. She was not really among your more angry candidates. The angriest, I think, was Joe Miller up in Alaska. This is a truly angry guy. He's just sort of sullen and angry, and he's not doing well, actually, in the election. I think partly it is that. I mean, most of the Tea Party people seem very cheerful to me. I mean, they think they're winning and they're changing the world.
On the other hand, Andy, last week a protester at a Rand Paul rally was pushed to the ground and stomped on. And he said something like, well, he's glad to see that there's so much passion on both sides.
So much passion on both sides. I have to recuse myself from any discussion of Rand Paul because I do worship the Aqua Buddha. And so I usually don't like to discuss my personal religion on the show, but I just feel a certain kinship with him.
We should talk about this. I run into a lot of Aqua Buddha worshipers.
You know what we're discovering, I think, Gail, in this campaign is just how many sort of alternative religious choices are available to Americans. We can dabble in witchcraft. We can worship the Aqua Buddha. It's always sort of the law of unintended consequences of this election. It's opened up a whole new menu of spiritual paths for us.
But what do you think about the stomping on this woman's head? Why do you think it hasn't had more of an impact? And why do you think...
Well, it had an impact on her head. Yeah. I mean, let's be clear about that.
But Rand Paul's tepid response, you would have thought that he would have said something like, you know, this is horrifying, I'll look into it or whatever, instead of kind of like suggesting, well, you know, this is the sort of thing that happens when people get impassioned.
Well, the Democrats did make a violent ad about it, but something like, you know, what you want Rand Paul to stomp on your head next. And then, you know, but I can't see that it's getting any traction. The people in Kentucky seem to be, you know, some of these states, you get so many ads that you go numb very fast. I've been in Ohio for a while, and they also get the Kentucky ads where I am. And it's incredible. I've just never seen, and I have not seen a single ad for butter for a week now.
Well, let's hear one of those ads.
I'm Jack Conway. I approve this message.
Why was Rand Paul a member of a secret society that called the Holy Bible a hoax that was banned for mocking Christianity and Christ? Why did Rand Paul once tie a woman up, tell her to bow down before a false idol and say his God was Aqua Buddha? Why does Rand Paul now want to end all federal faith-based initiatives and even end the deduction for religious charities? Why are there so many questions about Rand Paul?
They're trying to out-Christian the Republican candidate.
Well,
here.
I just, first of all, that is such an offensive ad because who among us hasn't tied a woman up and made her worship Aqua Buddha? I mean, everyone's dating style should be their own business, I think. But what was really creepy, did you notice in that ad the music in the background had a kind of, wouldn't we say, Middle Eastern flavor?
Mm-hmm.
So they're also suggesting that maybe in addition to being a Buddhist, he's a Muslim. This is a very complicated, very complicated.
By the way, if you think that Andy really ties up people and makes her pray, please do not write to me. He was joking.
I find it very, very, if not offensive, a terrible, terrible idea to go back and take pranks that people played in college, unless they actually, and the woman who got tied up admitted that it was a prank, it was a game, it was not, you know, something that was that she was afraid or feeling forced in any way. I cannot tell you all the things I did in college that I would prefer not to be in an ad. And only people who have never done anything in college, and I can't even believe that Jack Conway didn't do something in college he'd rather not have in an ad. That should be off limits forever. It was a very churlish kind of ad. You've got a guy who's against unemployment compensation. He wants to charge more for Medicare. There's stuff to do about him. You don't need this.
Well, Gail, if you ever decide to run for political office, we have already done some of the research on your college background. A lot of candidates have been going out of their way to avoid the press. What do you make of that? For example, Sharon Angle has become especially press-shy. Last week we talked about that, but isn't that unusual for someone who's running for office?
You know, I think it depends on where you are in the polls. I mean, if I were Cuomo, I wouldn't talk to the press very much right now.
And he hasn't.
Yeah, just sit on your lead. You know, it's the old Rose Garden strategy. So it depends. Some of them, though, I mean, like, you know, Christine O'Donnell, I think she's figured out, or her people have figured out, that it's just a complete, you know, minefield. Every time she opens her mouth, it's a disaster. So stay away from the press if you can.
Stay away from Karl Rove if you're...
Joe Miller has demonstrated it's a bad idea to try to shackle the press and take them into custody. That really doesn't work for you at all, you know?
Now, what have been the main campaign issues here other than no? In September, John Boehner and the Republican Party unveiled their pledge to America. Did that really do anything to shape the election, or was it more what Mitch McConnell said, that the real goal of the party is to prevent President Obama from being reelected in 2 years?
Yeah, I think the great narrative of it was, oh, Obama came into office and promised, you know, change, and he spent all of his time working on this big, complicated, messy bill that we don't understand instead of fixing the economy. And I've been disappointed by how many Democrats out there ran against the health care bill. You know, Russ Feingold, who may well lose in Wisconsin, but he has, you know, it's been very good about saying, of course I voted for that bill. I want you guys to be able to be sure that you're not going to lose your health care coverage if you lose your job. I want you to be able to sure that if your kid gets sick, he can still be covered. And on and on, talking about all the good things the health care bill does. That's really rare. It's very weird.
We have to take a little break, and when we come back, we will continue this conversation, the last one on our series, How Did Politics in America Get So Weird, with New York Times op-ed columnist Gail Collins and Andy Borowitz of TheBorowitzReport.com. Stay with us for more. We're back with the last in our series called How Did Politics in America Get So Weird with Gail Collins, who is an op-ed columnist with the New York Times. Her book, When Everything Changed, The Amazing Journey of American Women from 1960 to the Present, has just been published in a paperback version by Little Brown. Also with us is Andy Borowitz of TheBorowitzReport.com. Also sometimes fill in on this show, and I thank you, Andy.
Well, thanks for letting me do it.
Gail, what are some highlights of New York's gubernatorial election? You said that the debate was the worst you've ever seen.
Worst debate ever in the history of the world, possibly. You know, only two candidates who conceivably have any relationship to getting elected. You know, the other people yelling the rent's too high or making prostitute jokes. And then one of the two candidates that in theory are electable running off to go to the bathroom right before his final statement. It was one to remember.
But would you limit debates? Because in the past, we've had some very serious candidates, third-party candidates, kept out of debates.
I would limit debates to some level, like people who have 5% in the polls or some other, you know, and that people do that in many debates. I mean, you're just encouraging egomaniac people who only want to be in the debates to run and confuse people as if the poor voters aren't confused enough. I just think it's terrible. And it's also terrible that the Democrats were sort of doing that in some states, kind of trying to work up separate Tea Party candidates just to confuse the voters.
Just for the sake of accuracy, Gail, you did misquote one of the candidates. He said that the rent is too damn high. So let's make that clear.
Not just too high.
I got the impression.
We say darn in radio, by the way.
Oh, you say darn. I'm sorry. I'm creating lots of problems today.
Hope the FCC isn't listening.
I felt watching that debate that the sort of the filtering process was probably a little more thorough when they were casting Jersey Shore. You know, it just seemed like they had let a lot of riffraff in that would not make it on MTV. I don't know.
Well, Palladino recently walked away from a live television interview with a reporter named Kristen Carlson. She's from WCAX in northern New York and Vermont. And maybe we could listen to a little clip of that.
But do you think little girl is a sexist statement to make? I'm sure you're trying to reach out to women.
Well, you can make it whatever you want, Kristen. Yeah.
So you don't think it's sexist?
Absolutely not.
Well, a number of Republicans are telling us that due to your behavior and remarks...
Are we going to talk issues, or am I leaving you right now?
Well, I think this is about issues, sir. I think some say some of the comments you made say that you're not capable of running
this
state.
Okay?
Well, we'd like you to stay here with us and talk about the issues facing for voters in the North Country. Carl Palladino, we'd like you to stay and talk to us and talk about the issues. All right. Well, Mr. Palladino has decided that he does not want to stay and conduct the interview.
Well, when he said, well, you have a nice day, I think we're done talking to this lady, he could have said to this little girl, couldn't he?
That was better. Maybe he had to go to the bathroom. We have to get that possibility.
At least he didn't threaten to take her out. You know, that's the thing. It's usually with a report, it's like, I'm going to kick you out.
Now, is Andy Cuomo a candidate who has certain vulnerabilities himself? Would a stronger candidate have given him a tougher time?
Oh, well, and definitely, it would be hard to give him a less tough time no matter what. But, you know, Cuomo ran once before for governor, and I think he was a terrible candidate. He was a really bad candidate. So I think we can presume it would have been more of a challenge if he'd had a more difficult time of it.
Can we talk about some of the more memorable campaign ads? We played a few before. There was this commercial for Arizona State Senator Pamela Gorman that called her an evangelical Christian. It's your favorite. You want to talk about it, Gail?
No, she was, you play it, please.
Well, do we have that? She's an evangelical Christian and a great shot, and they showed her shooting guns. I guess that's a reason to vote for her.
Not just any gun, a machine gun.
We're going to actually play it a little later with some others. Then Joe Manchin, the Democrat running for the Senate in West Virginia, appears with a firearm in one of his campaign commercials.
Happen trade bill, yeah.
Well, what would happen if Andrew Cuomo or who's running for one of the people running in California or in Massachusetts, if they came out with a gun, do you think that would work, Andy?
I don't know. Jerry Brown with a machine gun doesn't sound quite.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger could have gotten away with it.
He could have done it. I could see Carly Fiorina with at least a small, you know, revolver putting a bullet through some kind of legislation or something. But it works mostly in the Southwest.
Well, Linda McMahon didn't do it, and she might actually have a reason to do it.
No, but she put a knee to a guy's groin in one of her ads, so that was rather excessive.
My favorite anti-Linda McMahon ad by I guess Richard Blumenthal, who I served with in Vietnam, and he has a hilarious ad.
Just got it.
Where he has these two. I don't know if Gail, have you heard this in Connecticut? It's these two housewives, and one just walks into the other's kitchen. They just happen to start talking about Linda McMahon. Like they're not saying anything. Like, so I heard that Jim's having an affair or something. It's just the first thing that the woman says. It's like, "Hi, Ruth," and it's like, "Hi, Jane. Did you hear about Linda McMahon? She's a liberal." And I just thought, what conversation has ever started like that? You don't say, how are the
kids
doing?
She's a liberal?
She's a liberal? Yeah, and she's a liberal. She wants to raise our taxes. And then it ends with, Linda McMahon, a liberal? I didn't know that. And then I guess she leaves. That's some friendship. It's just based on bashing Linda McMahon.
And who ran that? Who
I think it's a Blumenthal. I'm Blumenthal, and I approve this message from the Mekong Delta. you know,
well,
like that.
Blumenthal is one of those people, and excuse me, when you're running as far ahead as he is right now, despite being the worst campaigner in the history of the universe, you don't need to do it. He's running one of those, I didn't vote, I wouldn't have voted for the TARP, I wouldn't have voted for the bailout, I wouldn't have voted for the Obama legislation. I mean, he doesn't need to do that, and it's so... I mean, it's so confusing for the poor voters. Why are they voting for this guy? I mean, he's just, he's this stiff guy who's been around for 50 years, if not to continue the Obama legislation. Why do they want him in the Senate? It's wrong, very wrong.
We have a clip from an ad that was paid for by a group called Latinos for Reform that has been getting a lot of attention. Let's play that.
Democratic leaders must pay for their broken promises and betrayals. If we just go on supporting them again this November, they will keep playing games with our future and taking our vote for granted. Don't vote this November. This is the only way to send them a clear message. You can no longer take us for granted. Don't vote. Paid for by Latinos for Reform.
What was that music in the background? It was weird. It sounded like the opening of Johnny Quest or something. There were like birds going, caw. It was very strange.
I like the bell.
And the bell. I don't know what that means.
Now, Gail, I'm assuming that's an ad for addition through subtraction.
Well, it's interesting. This is one of those names that people have now, that these groups that try to do one thing, just come up with these names for them. There's something else completely. Latinos for Reform is Latinos for keeping Latinos from having any say in the election.
Because they're afraid that they'll vote for Harry Reid?
Yeah. So that what you want to just keep them out completely. And the idea that you talk about Latinos for Reform by urging them not to exercise their franchise is... it's right up there with the ad in Alabama that said, don't vote for this guy because he believes in evolution. And it was actually done by the school teachers, the teachers union. But it was, of course, called the American Republican Pack for True Government or something.
Now, do you think that that ad was also a way of counteracting all the bad publicity Sharon Angle got for that, that whole thing about her ads showing menacing-looking Latino men? Causing fear for white families and children, and then that thing where she talked to Latino students and said they looked a bit Asian.
There's no way of getting past all the bad publicity Sharon Angle's gotten. You just have to hope that people will go out and vote against Harry Reid. There's no other way she wins.
Well, she's going to win, isn't she? The polls seem to suggest
that. But it's not clear at this point, really.
Now, Harry Reid is keeping a very low profile in this campaign.
Everybody is keeping a low profile in this campaign.
Well, is he hoping to get some of the Sharia vote in Dearborn, Michigan, you think?
And Frankfort, Texas, if it ever comes back. That would be too, yeah.
My guests are Gail Collins, op-ed columnist for The New York Times, and Andy Borowitz of theborowitzreport.com. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Anonymous campaign funding has played a huge role this year. What are your thoughts on this? We're getting serious now.
Okay, this is the only serious thing I'm going to say. The Aqua Buddha thing, the tying up the girl thing, that was all a joke. But this is the only serious thing I'm going to say. What this has been said by a million people, but I'm going to say it. We took cigarette ads off the air because we as a society thought that was a bad thing. Political ads are way more toxic. They're killing this democracy. I know there are all kinds of constitutional problems with what I'm saying. But maybe we need a constitutional amendment getting rid of political ads. It's the single worst thing for our democracy. End of serious statement.
Well, is it political ads, Gail, or the way they are now allowed to run? The Supreme Court made a decision, Citizens United decision, that has really opened up the made this the kind of a toxic political season that it's become.
Yeah, the idea that you don't – that you can run ads – called Grandmothers for Reform, and they're actually ads from the tobacco companies trying to get more friendly people for tobacco and smoking. It is just complete madness, and that's where we're at now. And that's where we're at because the Republicans refuse to pass any transparency legislation.
But you see, we wouldn't allow that in any other industry. If you came on and advertised a car and said it could fly, you wouldn't be allowed to do that. But you can lie till the cows come home because this is all protected speech. I really think we've got a huge problem here that a lot of other countries don't have.
I would like to see an attack ad on Chevrolet ending with, I'm Henry Ford, and I endorse this ad. But people say that they hate negative ads, and yet, obviously, they work.
They do work, except the Aqua Buddha one.
Well, that's because it was so over the top, don't you think?
Yeah, it was
silly?
Completely disgusting. But yeah, I mean, and to be fair, people do want to know, I think, information about the other person, except none of the...
Well, we're having problems with that line, or else somebody, you have call waiting or something, Gail. Well, let me ask Andy this while we reestablish the line with Gail Collins.
We wait for somebody knowledgeable to get back on.
Somebody really knows about politics. Sarah Palin has lashed out at Politico for reporting that the Republican Party establishment wants to make sure she doesn't get near the presidential election in 2012. Was her problem with that article what it said, or its use of unnamed sources, do you think?
You know, I just don't even know what Sarah Palin's game is. I mean, why would Sarah Palin want to run for president? It doesn't make sense.
She'd have to give up her reality show.
She'd have to give up her reality show. And she has so much more power in the current position she has as kind of kingmaker and gadfly and well-paid corporate speaker. I just don't see this woman running for president.
Gail, do you think that she has her eye on the White House?
I don't think she did, but I think she's the kind of a person who, if people came to her and said, look, we can do this, wouldn't it be fun? She'd go. It's the terror of all the other Republicans right now is that she will go ahead and do it. And maybe she could win the primaries. It's just that she could not conceivably, I promise you, she cannot conceivably win a general election.
Well, ever. She has defended her decision to do a reality show by pointing out that Ronald Reagan was an actor. But wasn't he an actor first, and then he went into politics, became a governor, and then wound up running for president? In her case, she's been a governor, ran for vice president, and now she has a reality show.
Well, her position is rife with contradictions because here she's doing a reality show where in every other capacity she opposes reality. So I just don't understand how she is pulling this one off.
You know, this is inevitable, though, that there's going to be a reality show about somebody running for president. I mean, if not her, the next person.
It was floated a few years ago. There was a guy, I think R.J. Cutler, the documentary filmmaker, was going to actually do that. And I don't think they got very far with it, but I think it was actually talked about.
What about all
what's going to be scary is that they're all going to be out there. There'll be 20 candidates, and we'll have to judge which one we want to make the candidate. This can happen.
What about all the money? I mean, this is, I hear, or according to the Center for Responsive Politics, nearly $4 billion will have been spent by the time it's over. I'm assuming that's a record for a midterm election. Oh, we just lost Gail again. It's so weird. I have a screen in front of me, and she just disappeared, just like that.
Just like that.
Yeah.
$4 billion.
$4 billion.
That's a record for a midterm election. Well, I guess the only solace we can take from this is knowing, you know, how precious our vote is because politicians have spent so much money to buy it. So I guess that's the one thing we can feel good about.
See, I see something else going on here. There was a lot of talk over the years of how network television has been suffering and it's had a loss of advertising. This has been infused so much money into all of the various television and radio stations. It probably has saved commercial broadcasting in America, at least for another 2 or 3 years.
And Leonard, this is one of the reasons why it's not going to go away anytime soon, because among the many special interests who want to keep political ads on the air, you can throw in the broadcasters in that. It's a huge, huge source of money for them.
Well, Gail, if we've spent – or somebody's spent nearly $4 billion, I hear it's mostly the Koch brothers do you think that this election will set the tone for what we can expect in 2010? And do you think that it's going to have to go way over $4 billion?
I don't know. They're going to have to first of
all... I don't mean 2010. What is it? 2012.
2012. Yeah.
2012. See how much of this works. I know that there's an end point at which you run too many ads and nobody hears anything anymore. And I don't know when you reach that or whether you want to reach that, but clearly there's much studying by many media consultants to be done over the next 6 months.
I think that end point you're talking about is Meg Whitman, right?
Yeah.
Well, before you go, we have a little montage of some of the highlights or lowlights of the current campaign, which is over today. So let's get a little nostalgic now.
year, a lot of folks think this is our best shot at changing Congress. Of course, that all depends on the caliber of our candidates.
You're a witch.
I dabbled into witchcraft. I never joined a coven.
I'm not a witch.
I was a witch.
One of my first dates with a witch was on a satanic altar, and I didn't know it.
Why did Rand Paul once tie a woman up, tell her to bow down before a false idol, and say his god was Aqua Buddha?
I hung around people who were doing these things.
Having fun?
I'm not making this stuff up. I know what they told me they do.
The men wear little Speedos and they grind on each other. Have you ever been to one?
I didn't march in a gay parade this year. The gay pride parade this year. My opponent did. And that's not the example that we should be showing our children.
He's probably the last person I'll take advice from on how to raise my daughters.
Religious fanatics try to take away our freedom in Afghanistan, in Iran, and right here in Central Florida. Taliban Dan Webster, hands off our bodies and our laws.
We have done everything that we could possibly do. We have...
She's going to have to learn that.
Did what was right for Arizona.
Yeah, very quickly. She's going to have to dismiss that. Go with her gut. Get out there. Speak to the American people. Speak through Fox News.
None of us are perfect, but none of us can be happy with what we see all around us.
You can no longer take us for granted. Don't vote.
Meet Pamela Gorman, candidate for Congress in Arizona 3. Conservative Christian and a pretty fair shot.
So many wonderful memories.
You can't get better than that.
That was worth $4 billion, actually.
Thank you both so much for being with us. Andy Borowitz of theborowitzreport.com. He'll be hosting the National Book Awards November 17th. I'm reading for Nicole Krauss, by the way.
Okay.
So even if she doesn't win, give her the award. And Gail Collins is my favorite op-ed columnist at the New York Times. A paperback edition of her book, When Everything Changed, The Amazing Journey of American Women from 1960 to the Present, was just released by Little Brown. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leonard.